Social Security Council, Mr. or Dr. Henry Kissinger. Now, why would Mr. Kissinger want to stop? Well, do you know the background of Henry Kissinger?
I don't know if I know to what you're referring. I know a little of it, what I've read and so forth.
Well, he was born in a small town outside of Berlin in a Jewish family. And when he was 7 years old, he had to appear in public with the Star of David emblazoned upon his shirt or coat or whatever he had. And on his way to school, he would be beaten, or people would spit in his face and do so-and-so and say, "Why don't you, blanky blank Jew, get out of Germany?" Now, this is about the time the Hitler Youth Organization came into being. Mm-hmm. And also the time that Adolf Hitler threw in a great big bluff and attacked France. Any resistance at all, he would have withdrawn because he had nothing really to back mm-hmm. him up.
No,
but
what is...
Hitler came over here at age 8.
Mm-hmm.
He was absolutely withdrawn, indrawn from reality. It took about 3 or 4 years for him to get rid of the shock. Well, he worked his way through Harvard University and has a PhD. Very, very smart man. Nelson Rockefeller heard about this man from some colony, came in, interviewed him, and hired him.
Who was that that hired him?
Nelson Rockefeller.
Mm-hmm.
Who was the governor of New York, of the state of New York.
Mm-hmm.
And Mr. Nixon was searching around for somebody to be upon his staff to handle national security.
Mm-hmm.
Nelson Rockefeller recommended Henry Kissinger.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if you don't go through Henry Kissinger or Haldeman or Ehrlichman, you cannot see the president. Now, Mr. Walter Hippel left the inferior job because over a 7 month period, he was not able to get an appointment to see the president.
But what does all this have to do with the POW thing, Admiral?
Well, I'm just working up to that.
Okay.
I came back to Washington. I saw the chairman of the Armed Services Committee of the House, Mr. Abinger, of the Senate Justice, the Speaker of the House, Albert, Majority Leader in the Senate, Mike Mansfield. And every one of those said, this must be done through the executive branch of the government. So I contacted Henry Kissinger and talked with him. And he said, in the foreseeable future, I don't see any way that we're going to be able to do this. Now, about the 15th of September, this courier, by the way, every time he come, it cost me $5,000. He came to San Francisco especially to tell me.
Now, is this the Russian courier? Or the Swiss courier?
The vice president of a Swiss bank that I do business with.
Did you say his name is Pavlov?
No. Mr. Pavlov is about number 3 or number 4. On the Politburo in Moscow.
I see.
Excuse me, hold on just a minute.
Okay.
Excuse me, I've had a tooth break off, and they gave me some pain-killing medicine, and my mouth is so dry, I had to get up and get a drink of water.
I see.
All right now. This courier has made all these trips, and I tried to get hold of the president, I tried to get hold of Kissinger, I couldn't get any of them, so we went through that embarrassing thing of dropping paratroopers on a prison, POWs, that had been abandoned a month before.
Mm-hmm.
And this courier of mine told me this. I could not get it through. Now, the director of the Secret Service assigned me two operators, two people, agents of the Secret Service, because I've had 14 attempts made upon my life.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the two Secret Service men were pulled off because they had this 80 people go to Peking. And when they get back from Peking, I will have the same two assigned me.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm staying at the Army Navy Club, and I don't dare leave the place.
Mm-hmm.
Because one day something happened. Well, it was actually a kidnapping, trying to get information. And they said that they had my son in custody, which wasn't so. Because I'm the only person in the world who knows where he is, in college,
mm-hmm.
and so on. Well, I have been working with Mr. Brezhnev, and 2 weeks ago, this Mr. Pavlov showed up here, and he came in with my Swiss banker.
And, with the Swiss banker?
The Swiss banker, yeah.
This is your normal courier?
Yes, and he... this
now, this Swiss banker is the one that makes what route now? Where all does he go?
He leaves Zurich for Moscow, Peking, Hanoi, New York, Washington, and San Francisco.
Mm-hmm.
And 2 weeks ago, very unexpectedly, here is my courier who shows up with Mr. Pavlov, who is one of his customers. This man is sending money to Switzerland to be put into your numbered account. And, well, I had to shell out $5,000. And when I left San Francisco, I brought $7,500 in driver checks. Well, I could not come up with the $5,000. And I left a prayer breakfast at the Riggs Bank, walked down Pennsylvania Avenue, passed the White House. I got to the First National Bank of Washington, and all of a sudden, I remembered that the chairman of the board of about 25 banks graduated in 1922, so number 20 class from West Point. 1 year later, he went into the financial business. Now, he is a major stockholder in about 30 different banks, and he has a net worth of around $100 million. And right away, I went up to see him, General Olmsted.
Mm-hmm.
I said, look, I have to, here's $5,000, I must pay my courier. And I'm short $1,300. So he pressed the button, the First National Bank president came up and gave me $1,300 bills. I gave it to the courier. I had the deadline of noon. And he took off on his way to San Francisco. Mr. Pavlov went back to Russia.
Now, why did you have to have the money for the courier at that time? What had he done for this?
Well, he brought me information that the president's plane would be shot down. And on the basis of that, I called the director of the Secret Service, Jim Rowley, R-O-W-L-E-Y, who I've known since North Africa, between 25 and 30 years.
Mm-hmm.
And he immediately, acting upon my information from this courier, sent four agents to China. They went to Peking, they went to Shanghai and Peking. All arrangements were made. The reason why you saw so few people, if you watch this thing on TV,
mm-hmm.
every person in that big square, or rectangle, that tremendous place where they amass a million people, every person, whether on a bicycle or on foot, were members of the, well, whatever corresponds to the Secret Service.
Mm-hmm.
And did you notice that the cars went through that thing, went through that plaza at about 70 miles an hour?
I realize they were moving rather quickly. I didn't.
When the cavalcade came through, the speed limit now in Moscow is 25 miles an hour.
You mean Peking?
Peking. So these cars are making about 70 miles an hour. They
mm-hmm.
had taken elaborate precautions, but in order to be certain, these cars were moving so fast that no one would be able to fire a shot. Now, Mr. Nixon was not in the car with a flag, as a lot of people. They made an announcement that he was coming in an unmarked plane. They did that specifically for Lin Piao and the forces. Well, of course, they landed in the Spirit of 76, Air Force One. And in other words, on the strength of this thing that I gave them, they got the thing on a paying basis. As far as I know, nothing untoward has happened because the Chinese Joe and I in particular, said we're going to set up this thing so there'll be no possibility whatsoever that the president's plane be attacked. Now, Len Piao recently was rejected. He was number three. Nazi Song, Joe and I, and Len Piao. Now, Len Piao had a squabble with Joe and I, and Joe and I had some people pick him up and take him away, and they said he's dead, but he's not dead.
Now, you told me that you've been to Moscow seven times since...
Seven times since the 1st of September, 1970.
Now, this was immediately following your meeting in Hawaii with Admiral McCain.
That's right.
And on these seven trips, can you just kind of summarize what has taken place regarding prisoners of war?
Well, I gradually got them to agree that they would do a ceasefire for keeps, no more, that they would assemble all the POWs. And Pan American Airways has given me eight 747s. At a cost of $1 for each plane. Now, after I get over there, I may decide to use a military. But Dr. Kissinger in the White House has to go. I mean, he is. Did you notice the conference with Nazi Song, who attended?
Yes, I did.
Mr. Rogers.
Now, you say they told you in Moscow. Well, are you talking about Brezhnev or who? Who did you meet
Brezhnev
with in Moscow?
He's the only one I've talked with.
You've met with him seven times?
Yes.
And he said that they would arrange a ceasefire. Is he speaking for the North Vietnamese?
He's speaking for Lê Duong, who is a communist.
Yes, head of the Politburo.
But he said, I will summon him to Moscow, and here's what it is. Now, the reason they jumped the gun, because they're so unhappy about
the Peking.
What happened to Peking. So what they want to do is to get these prisoners of war home, and Mr. Brezhnev offered even to be in the lead plane with me, and he offered to appear before a joint session of the Congress to explain to them that Russia wants to be friends and that our acceptance of...
When did you last meet with him, Admiral?
Oh, let's see, about 3 weeks ago.
3 weeks ago.
Uh-huh. Now, I've been in Washington, in and out of Washington, since the 29th of November.
Now, you met with him last 3 weeks ago. Now, when did he give you this word as to what would take place and when it would take place?
2 weeks ago.
2 weeks ago.
2 weeks ago, this courier plus this mysterious Mr. Pavlov.
Now, did Pavlov bring you the word or the courier?
Mr. Pavlov and, well, the courier, too. Mr. Pavlov on the Politburo is a customer of my particular representative.
Now, in order for this to happen, what are you supposed to do now?
Well, as I told you, I had to put out $5,000. I had to go to a bank and borrow $1,300. I've been at the Army Navy Club now, off and on. My bill for December was $600. My bill for January was $1,291. Mostly in telegrams and cablegrams, and telephone calls, long distance, to get this thing set up. This today, as of today, I have a bill of about $700 for February. February.
Now, you're supposed to leave here, though, on Sunday, you say?
I'm supposed to leave New York Sunday, the coming up Sunday. And other people are in the process of getting me a diplomatic passport and a visa, and a letter to Mr. Brezhnev. He said he would like to have this officially, because, you know, this man even
a letter
said,
from whom? A letter from whom?
Well, Mr. Abel Harriman is probably the most knowledgeable man in the United States. Llewellyn Thompson died 2 weeks ago. He was. But now Mr. Harriman, Averill Harriman, has been in public service all for the last 4 years. He's 81 years old. And, of course, the Harriman Company and railroads and all that stuff. He's just loaded. He's 81 years old, and he looks like he's about 50.
Yes.
In fact, he has a brand new
Yes, I realize that.
Pamela Churchill.
Now, you're supposed...
My situation is this. I arrived here with $7,500, not dreaming that this man would come in on this cow thing. So my finances had dribbled down to almost zero. And I talked with the office where the POWs,
National League?
Well, I talked with... I talked with Mrs. Grubb.
Mm-hmm.
I talked with Mrs. Metzger. I talked with Mrs. Shea.
Mm-hmm.
And those three. We closed the door. They had either a legal or an accountant man.
Mm-hmm.
And they asked him to leave the room because I told them that this was the highest only maximum sensitivity.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I have bombarded the White House with letters, telephone calls.
Well, what is it you need to make it take place, Admiral?
By noon tomorrow, I have to have $7,500 in cash, which will be repaid, because while we're assembling these people in Moscow, I'm going to Zurich, and I'm going to transfer my account from there to Fort Worth, Texas.
Mm-hmm.
My domicile is California, but because of the new ruling by the Fifth Circuit Court of Appeals in New Orleans. There are six states in that particular district. Texas is one of them. A lady in New Orleans made a political contribution of $83,000 to a man running for mayor against the incumbent. She made out her income tax return, filled in everything, and made a claim for refunds of $83,000 plus 6%. This thing dragged along for 3 months. Well, about 3 months ago, it dragged along for 3 years. About 3 months ago, they gave a ruling. They said political contributions to the state of Texas and all the rest, if it involves the economic welfare of the donor, there will be no gift tax whatsoever. And, of course, you know, Texas doesn't have income tax. They don't have alimony. They have a small inheritance tax, and that's all.
Mm-hmm.
So I have about 20 people in Texas, in Fort Worth, Dallas, and Midland, and Houston, who have pledged to me $35 million. Most of them are putting up $2.5 million. And I have this fund, which I can throw to the Republican or to the Democrat, whichever one I feel. Now, the speaking thing has eclipsed everything. It's on the front page. But believe you me, I've talked with a dozen of people who have escaped or who have been released from these horrible prison camps that POWs bear with. Got the word right from the people that know. And I'm not going to go to Texas until this thing's all over. I'm going to get in and out of Washington. And my $7,500 that I brought has dwindled to $300. And, of course, I'll have to pay my own fare. But I'm not going on the opposite.
But why do you need a letter from somebody if you've been meeting with Mr. Brezhnev all this time? He apparently knows you.
He just wanted it for the record, and he was requested. Now, I'm expecting to go up to the Hill very shortly.
Well, who does he want a letter from?
Averill Harriman.
Just from Harriman. All right, and then when you get there, when you get to Moscow, he is going to summon Le Duan?
They're going to meet me. They're going to take me over to the Kremlin. I'm going to sit down and talk with Brezhnev.
Le Duan is going to be in Moscow when you arrive?
He's going to summon him.
I see.
There'll be 2 or 3 days difference, probably.
Mm-hmm.
Or maybe 4 or 5 until we get these people. Now, we have 3 prisoners in China.
Mm-hmm.
And a news broadcast said a while ago that Mr. Nixon has tried to get Mr. Joe and I to let those 3 go.
Mm-hmm.
But we have a total 25 POWs that have been identified to me by name. I saw on two or three movies, each one about half an hour, taken by the Russians in these different prison camps.
Mm-hmm. Where did you see these, in Moscow?
Yes. Now, North Vietnam holds 378.
Mm-hmm.
407 are in the DMZ. 493 are in South Vietnam.
Mm-hmm.
80 are in the hands of the Viet Cong. 247 in Laos. And within the last week, we've had 20 people in planes shot down. I think it was either 6 or 7 planes. I'm not sure.
Mm-hmm.
But the total with the 20 we just lost is 1,625.
Mm-hmm.
That's the reason why I asked Pan Am for 8,727. Each one.
Now, you have a commitment from Pan Am for these?
Well, you see, Hinnell, John Hinnell, Brigadier General in the Marine Corps, was Assistant Secretary of the Navy until about 4 months ago. He and Mr. Casey and Mr. Laird got in a hassle. So Hinnell resigned as Undersecretary of the Navy, and now he is the Vice President of Pan American Airlines.
Mm-hmm.
And Mr. Holliby, who is the chairman of the board now, confirmed the fact that they would be happy to furnish these planes. Now,
are you going to take anybody with you from America to Moscow?
I have a Russian-speaking investment man that I may take, but the chances are I have asked for an interpreter by the name of Troyanovsky, who's been my interpreter, and who was the interpreter when Frau Koslov came to America at the age of about 45, 15 years ago. He died in a heart attack.
Mm-hmm.
Troyanovsky next shows up with Khrushchev, when Khrushchev came over.
Now, you got word from Mr. Brezhnev through this courier how long ago, this last word?
Well, this is 10 days. Just a minute.
It was before the Peking conference.
Oh, yes, yes.
And he said that if you would come on this coming Sunday, that he would summon Lê Duẩn.
Yes.
And that you would meet, and that you could immediately fly in and get them in.
That's right.
And Lê Duẩn would go with you, and yes, he would go with you.
No. Brezhnev said, if I think it's appropriate, that he would travel in the lead plane with me, and I am going to call Mr. Mansfield and Speaker Albert and tell them that there's a possibility he's going to be here because he wants to make a talk.
He wants to make a talk to the joint session.
Joint session, the United States, saying that our number one enemy is China, that we must do something, we must get together on the coexistence thing. Now, this automatically will rule out this arms race we're having. They are way ahead of us.
But let's get back to the prisoners now, Admiral. Are you saying that within a matter of days you're going to have the prisoners that are held in North Vietnam?
That is right. They will all be brought back to either Andrews Air Force Base here in Washington, or I'll come through Hawaii. And as we stop, certain people will be unloaded. For example, people who live in Hawaii, mainly Admiral McKay's son, the people who live in the San Francisco Bay Area, and then finally Andrews. They will be sent to a hospital nearest their individual home.
Now, is Brezhnev going to fly here with you?
He volunteered to do so, but I've had a negative reaction on that.
Now, do you have any of this in writing, or is it just what he's...
All been by phone. No correspondence whatsoever.
By phone?
They asked me not to put it on paper.
You say it's been by phone. I thought you met with him personally.
Well, that's right. I met with him, but it's all been orally, either by phone or in person. And I have not sent a single letter, and I have not gotten a letter from them, because they didn't want to do it. This has got to be arranged on an eyeball-to-eyeball basis with you and Chairman Brezhnev. We don't want anything in writing, and they're masters of espionage. Italian and so on. And they must have some degree. I don't know what it is.
Well, who is this Swiss courier? Are you sure of him?
Well, he's worked for me for 17 months. And everything he's given me, I passed on to the CIA.
Is he Swiss or American or what nationality?
Well, he's a Swiss citizen. Mm-hmm. And I have my account in his bank. I have a numbered account. Unfortunately, the only way I can get money out of it is to go there in person. I set it up that way.
Are you sure that he's using his right name? Your
Boston. Boston. Mm-hmm. Now, I'm going to transfer these funds to Fort Worth. I'm setting up a headquarters in Fort Worth.
You have sizable funds in Switzerland, I assume.
Yes, I do. Mm-hmm. More than sizable.
And you have a number of people in Texas, you say, that are supporting you.
To the tune of $35 million.
Are these oil-type people?
Everybody's in oil. In 1947, a very dear friend of mine told me if I could raise $50,000, he would make me a partner in his enterprise in Kuwait. Mm-hmm. He said, there's only one thing that I want to tell you that must be done. You put this thing, just signed by him, I mean, forming this thing, and it'll be 50-50 up to a certain date. And he said, you put that away in a safe deposit box and don't look at it. Let it sit there for 10 or 15 or 20 years. And then you go in and you will find out that your $50,000 has appreciated several thousand, well, to be exact, $152 million.
Mm-hmm.
Now, this gentleman died 2 months ago. He was the president of the Arabian American Oil Company.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I've been to Kuwait, a dozen times in the last 10 years, and the Sheikh, His Royal Highness so-and-so, is a very dear friend of mine. Mm-hmm. And believe it or not...
What tie is that to Texas, though? What tie-in does that have with Texas?
Well, I'm moving to Texas so that I can contribute personally to either the Democratic nominee or to the Republican nominee.
I see.
Without any gift tax.
But why would these people contribute $2.5 million to you?
Well, I told them I had to have $35 million. And we sat down, all 20, and allocated quite a few of them are putting $2.5 million. I'm putting in $2.5 million. And there are three or four that could only come up with $1 million. But the total, $35 million.
Are all of them in the oil business?
What is that?
Excuse me, are all of them in the oil business?
Everybody else. I belong to the Petroleum Club and the Fort Worth Club and the Midland Golf Club. And I've done a lot of business in Midland, Odessa, Fort Worth, Dallas, and Houston.
Mm-hmm.
And these people go to the same club that I go to.
Mm-hmm.
They belong, and they're very much it.
Are they working with you in the prison of war thing?
No. They have nothing to do with that, sir.
Mm-hmm.
I've been working alone with this man from Switzerland.
Mm-hmm.
Because this is something. I had to get a prison about 6 years ago. And when I heard, and when I saw the pictures, that one officer in particular, the freshman, gave me, I absolutely was horrified.
Mm-hmm.
I almost had to go to the men's room and vomit. They were so horrible.
What would happen if you took someone with you to Moscow?
Oh, that would be all right. No question about it.
Could they meet with you and Brezhnev and see this carried through?
Yes. Do you have somebody in mind?
I don't know at the moment.
Well, this plane leaves Sunday, and the next one is Wednesday. And I only have tomorrow, really, to get this diplomatic passport. And I'm going to try my best to make the one Sunday. If you have somebody in mind in your organization, I think that I could take him along and he'd be received with me. I know that I'm going to be received. It's just that every time you get here, we'll drop whatever schedule we have because we're scared to death for the people's political channel.
Mm-hmm.
All they need is 5 more years. But if they come in with us, as a common opponent of people who love each other, not only can we stop this arms race, but we can ensure peace for the next 2,500 years. I don't mean by Chamberlain, who came back from Munich waving a finger.
Do you have clearance from the...
Time. You don't like that at all.
Do you have clearance from the U.S., from the government, or do you feel you need it to carry this on?
Well, I tried to get it, and Henry Kissinger would not permit it, because Henry Kissinger said to me, well, I have a man in the White House that tells me if it was on over there.
In Kissinger's office?
And they had a meeting about 6 months ago.
Who did you say this was? I didn't get that.
I don't name the name.
Oh, I see.
Okay. But he said they had this back. And all the White House staff was there. Kissinger, by the way, has 180 people in his office.
Mm-hmm.
When he started out, he had one. What is this conference? Staff briefing. He got up and said, gentlemen, the order of priority, as far as we're concerned, the White House, is the Iraq situation, the busing situation, poverty, crime in the streets, and so and so and so and so. The final point, bring POWs them and stop the war. And when he read that off, he gave a real big wink with his eye to everybody. And my representative over there said everybody took it to mean the POWs, it's just an admission. He doesn't care what happened to him. Now, just as you told me one thing.
When did he tell you this? Recently?
Oh, this was at Senate Committee. We are not going to permit any prisoners to be released. We don't want them. We're not going to stop the war because our economy would go down the drain. Thousands and thousands of electronic people would be let go. And we're going to bring these people out. We're going to stop the war about October. And I said, in other words, you're using the POWs as pawns to get a re-election of Richard Nixon.
What did he say?
He said, well, that's just about it in a nutshell.
Did you tell him about your meetings with Brezhnev?
Oh, yes, yes.
What did he say about
that? And he said, well, we can't do anything in the foreseeable future.
Does he know about this last plan that...
Yes, he does.
...that you're supposed to go this Sunday and so forth?
No, he does not, because he's not here.
Mm-hmm.
This has all come up in the last few
days. You don't have anybody else in his office that you deal with?
I will not talk with anybody in the White House.
Mm-hmm.
Another thing, my informant in the White House, not one communication, telegram, letter, airmail, special delivery, inside envelope, eyes only, maximum sensitivity. Richard Nixon has seen none of these. They are diverted to Henry Kissinger. And Henry Kissinger just throws them in the waste basket. Henry Kissinger is the president. I started off. The president of the States, Henry Kissinger. He's the Secretary of State. That picture with Mao, Rogers was there. He was supposed to be. He's the head of the State Department, but he wasn't there. And in positions of honor at the banquet table, here's Kissinger sitting next to Mrs. Joy Ly, but Rogers wasn't even in the picture. He's probably at the end of the table.
Well, this all seems to be extremely sensitive material that you're talking about.
It's the maximum sensitivity. I went to Philadelphia.
Now, you have had two Secret Service agents with you. Do they know about all of this?
Yes.
Do they know about all of this?
Oh, yes. Based upon what I told you, based upon my couriers, they sent four people to China to rearrange the whole deal. They completely
and you last set down. You last met with Pavlov when? 2 weeks ago?
2 weeks ago, tomorrow, Friday.
Mm-hmm.
This man always comes on a Friday, every 6 weeks.
Pavlov does, or your courier?
The courier. Now, I passed all this information along to the CIA, Mr. Helms. Well, let's see.
And you got your money.
He's an acquaintance.
And you got your money from what bank in Washington? Are they aware of it?
First National Bank of Washington. The head of the American Bank Shares Company, General Olmsted,
mm-hmm.
knows about it, mm-hmm. but the president of the First National Bank of Washington, there are about 25 or 30 banks in Maryland, Virginia, one in New York. I think there are about 30 or 35 banks in this sort of consortium.
Mm-hmm.
And General Olmsted organized all of
it.
When you say General Olmsted, I have their annual report to you.
It was General Olmsted who got the $5,000 for you, though, or
$1,300. He got the $1,300 for me. Mm-hmm. I was short $1,300,
mm-hmm.
and I went over there about 11 o'clock, and the deadline was 12.
That was 2 weeks ago tomorrow.
Yes, and I came back at the Mayflower Hotel and gave the man $5,000 in cash.
Mm-hmm.
But I...
Will you be in your room a bit later this afternoon after I have time to digest this?
I'll be here all the time. I mean, no, there's nothing more important than this.
Very good.
I have a tentative appointment with the speaker, but I can postpone that.
Well, you don't have to postpone that at all, but I will be back in touch with you.
Well, here's what I need by wire before noon tomorrow. I'm at the Army Net. You want to write this down?
Yes.
My name is I.E. I like item, E like easy, McMillan, M.C., M.I.L.L.I.A.N.,
mm-hmm.
Army Navy Club, 17th and I, E.Y.E., is the way they spell it right. It's G.H.I.J.K.L.M. and so on.
Right.
For I, which is E.Y.E.
Right.
At Farragut Square, Washington 20006.
Right.
And I'm in room 408, and the telephone number. Oh, well, of course you have it.
Yes.
You called me.
Yes.
So you have the phone number.
Very good. Admiral, I'll be talking with you a bit later.
Now, here's another thing I want you to consider. I don't know what your past position is, or how the... is EDS? Electron data... What is the...
EDS.
EDS, that's what I thought. I have this $152 million in cash, which I can bring to the United States tax-free.
Mm-hmm.
Internal Revenue Service said this is capital. It's not earned income. There'll be no tax whatsoever. And I'm going to shift this to... I'm going to keep $1 million on deposit in this bank, and the rest of it, I'm shifting to Fort Worth.
Now, understand one thing, that while Mr. Perot founded United We Stand, the organization that I represent, there is no other direct connection with EDS in my organization.
Understand.
You understand that?
Understand. Now, there's a young man down at Tyler named Harvey.
Mm-hmm.
Is he a part of your organization?
No, he isn't. I am aware of him, though.
Well, I know him real well,
mm-hmm.
And his whole setup in Tyler.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of people in Tyler. Because I came from Texas, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I came from Honey Grove, Texas.
Yes.
I was appointed to Annapolis by Mr. Sam Rayburn.
Mm-hmm.
Speaker of the House. He also appointed my number one son.
Mm-hmm.
And I have a 19-year-old. One of the main reasons, by the way, is that I have a 19-year-old son who's a straight-A, brilliant, wonderful guy. Never got to know my son because I was on duty in the war, World War II in Korea. But this guy is just absolutely wonderful. And I'm doing this mainly so that he won't have to go and die in some rice paddy.
Right. Admiral, I'll be back in touch with you a bit later.
I'll be right here. I won't leave.
And I trust that you will keep our conversations very private.
Well, the same for me. I gave
very
you a lot
good.
Of details that are eyes on matching sensitivity. But the Secret Service and the FBI check my telephone every day.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I've moved three times. In the Army Navy Club.
Right.
Because of the threatening thing. And I left the club here one night. I had let the Secret Service men go. And I went out. It was a Sunday night. They don't serve dinners here Sunday night. So I was going to the Shore Hotel for dinner. The car pulled up with three Chinese in it. The guy stuck a gun in my back. And they kept me for 19 hours in a house in the Woodley area. And they started off by saying, we have your son in custody. I said, you're a liar. You don't have him in custody because I'm the only one who knows where he is. His own mother doesn't know.
Mm-hmm.
So what's the next question? And I said, I'm not going to answer any questions. You can do whatever you please. You can tell me or what. I'm just not going to answer any questions. Well, about 3 o'clock in the morning, they put the blindfold, the bandage on my eyes, and several Caucasian types came in. And one of them was Henry Kissinger, because I recognized his voice. He still speaks with a very pronounced German accent.
Mm-hmm.
In other words, this guy, Kissinger, is working to destroy our federal government. How he squeezed his way in to Nixon, I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
I personally don't think Nixon is too smart. I've known him
mm-hmm.
for years and years. And the new Nixon that came out when he first got in was fine, but I'm afraid now he's back to the old Nixon.
Admiral, I've got to run. I've got another long-distance call.
Okay.
But we'll be in touch. Thank you.
Goodbye. Bye.